Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. This video is going to go over, or this episode is going to go over pre-workout nutrition, and I basically explain everything you need to know about it and how to set up your nutrition pre-workout, as the title suggests, for success in regards to your training performance and therefore your ability to build muscle and lose body fat effectively. So a few key considerations we want to make when it comes to the pre-workout window. Is going to be hydration, is going to be having enough energy to perform, and as well as that, being in an anabolic state to build muscle, which I'll obviously jump into. And first kind of topic I'm going to jump into is hydration. So when it comes to pre-workout, what we want to consider is making sure we've got enough basically water present and electrolytes present in order to perform well. And the reason why I say water and electrolytes is both will impact your ability to perform. We don't just want to have enough water available, we also want to have enough electrolytes available, because both will play an important impact into your ability to progress your lifts and be hydrated effectively. And in terms of how much water I recommend having, is if you are training first thing in the morning, an absolute minimum of 1 liter. If you are maybe, or ideally closer to 1.5, unless let's say you're a very small female. And obviously the further throughout the day you are, the more water you want to consume, meaning if you are training after 2 meals, 3 meals, 4 meals, you'll want to consume more water than if you're training after your initial first meal of the day. So a minimum of 1 liters, but closer to 1.5 if you're like a larger male. And the further throughout the day, you want to consume more water ideally. A good way to know you're hydrated is making sure your urine is clear or close to it. However, something to consider is when you do take certain supplements, like a supplement of vitamin B, for example, usually when you go to the bathroom after, your urine will be quite kind of fluorescent, and that's not from dehydration, that's just from you don't absorb all of kind of the vitamin you do take, so that will play a part in how your urine colour is, so bear that in mind. But ideally you want it clear or close to clear. And what I recommend doing is have quite a good routine with it, because see if you're going into your session drinking a different amount of water for each session, the likelihood of you being hydrated effectively is going to be lower. So keeping it pretty static and stagnant means there's less moving parts, there's less room for error there. And as for when we are going about being hydrated, we want not just water but sufficient electrolytes, which we can achieve through salt. Salt, you'll get things like sodium, potassium in it, which are kind of the key main electrolytes. And as a result, I recommend salting your meals, especially like around the workout window, because that's when your salt requirements will be higher. I personally have 10 grams daily, but I'll distribute a bit more in my pre-workout meal. And also first thing in the morning, I'll have electrolytes before my session, or first thing upon wake, because I train after my first meal, just to ensure I'm definitely hydrated effectively. You don't need electrolytes, but it's not a bad insurance policy to ensure that you are definitely hydrated effectively. And moving on to the pre-workout meal, so what we want to consider is how much fats, carbs and also protein we're consuming in that pre-workout window, because all will affect our ability to perform and put ourselves in maybe a more favorable position to build muscle. And as for protein, so it's shown that we need a minimum of 20 grams of protein to spike muscle protein synthesis. However, slightly higher isn't a bad thing. It's shown that when we consume more protein, we have the ability to spike muscle protein synthesis even further. And a good way to distribute your protein throughout the day is if you are, let's say, having, or you've got a goal of 200 grams, simply divide that by the amount of meals you're consuming and then have that each meal. The only caveat to that is maybe if someone has digestive issues or they struggle to maybe, they're training quite close to their session, they might want to opt for less protein, because protein will typically digest quite slow. So you obviously want to consider digestion and make sure digestion's good heading into the session. But 20 grams is a good minimum to have in your pre-workout meal. And what this will basically do is put you in an anabolic state. So I mentioned when we consume protein, we spike muscle protein synthesis, which basically puts you in a position where you're more likely to kind of build muscle tissue, and you'll have less muscle protein breakdown basically occurring. So basically you'll be in a good position to build muscle, and this will give you better recovery and a better ability to build muscle during that session and after that session accordingly. And the reason being is in protein we basically get amino acids, and amino acids are basically, it ensures you've got amino acids readily available to repair and build muscle fibers after we break them down. Especially if you're training first thing in the morning, let's say after your first meal or relatively fasted, I'd still try and opt for a protein serving because we don't store protein. So if we are going into a session without any protein available, then we don't have any amino acids available to kind of repair broken down muscle tissue. And where are we going to get those amino acids from? It's going to be our other muscle tissues in the body. So ideally have a source of protein, and it will also allow you to kind of optimize muscle function accordingly. So in terms of carbohydrates, so carbohydrates is a big consideration in the pre-workout window because carbohydrates are our main source of energy. And what that basically means is it's the most efficient and most kind of readily available source of energy in our body, and we're going to perform better from having enough energy through carbohydrates in comparison to maybe, let's say, having just fats or just protein, because they're inefficient sources of energy and they need to go through more processes to be basically turned into glycogen to be used as an energy source. And this is what we'll use primarily when we're doing like high intensity training. When we're, let's say, doing like a leisurely walk, we might use fat as more of a source of energy, whereas when we're doing more demanding activity, the main source of energy is going to be carbohydrates. And as for carbohydrates, they'll help you improve your performance and also your endurance during your training, which is why it's so important to consume them. And it also spikes insulin when we consume carbohydrates, which isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing because when we spike insulin, it basically prevents muscle protein breakdown from occurring. And what that basically means is it prevents us breaking down as much muscle, which means we have a better ability to recover and maybe train that body part in a more frequent basis, which is part of the potential benefit of also having carbohydrates before your session. And in terms of how much you should consume, so this will be dependent on your weight, your session length, how many meals you've had prior, what phase you are in. For example, if someone's in a deep in a gaining phase, they're training after four meals, they're on 4,000 calories a day, they could probably have very little carbohydrates in that pre-meal, not feel as much of effect from it because they're consuming overall that much food as a whole. Whereas if someone's very, very lean, they've not got a lot of energy source through fat, they're not consuming much carbohydrates as a whole, or storing much carbohydrates as a whole due to being in an energy deficit, or in other words, dieting, the importance of them having more carbohydrates before their session is going to be far greater. So around about 50 to 100 grams isn't a bad place to start. Obviously, if your food's higher, you can get away with being on that higher end. And it makes sense placing quite a lot of carbohydrates around your workout window. Usually, I'll say to clients, like when I make a food increase and they're wondering where to add it, I'll say basically unless you've got no food around your other meals, if you've got the space and the hunger to, and you won't get digestive distress from having more carbs pre or post workout, add them there because it's where we're kind of expending most energy, so it makes sense to center them around the workout window. So yeah, 50 to 100 grams isn't a bad place to be, and the reason being is because again, it will help spike insulin, helping prevent muscle protein breakdown, and it's our main source of energy. So it makes sense centering those carbohydrates around when you'll use them. And in terms of the next point I'm going to cover, is how much fat we should consume in that pre-workout window. So this will be partly dependent on how long you're training after your pre-workout meal. And the reason being is fats will slow down the digestion of the carbohydrates you're consuming, which basically means if you consume, let's say, 50 grams of fat with a meal, it will consume you'll digest that food a ton slower than if you consume no fat with that meal. So having around about 10 to 15 grams of fat pre-workout isn't a bad idea. However, if your food's very high and you're eating after quite a lot of meals, your meals take a long time to digest. You don't instantly digest your meal. It can take up to 3 hours to digest certain foods. And if you've maybe been sick, you'll maybe have experienced that fact that you'll see what you maybe ate for breakfast if you were sick later in the day, or you might have even seen what you had for dinner last night if you were sick earlier in the day. So we don't instantly consume food and like burn through it within minutes, within seconds. It takes time. However, so if you are consuming, let's say, a lot of meals, you might not need as much fat because you've already got a lot of food in your system. And if you're training very close to your workout window, or you're doing a shorter session, you might not need a lot of fat in it because you're training close after consuming that meal, so you'll still have those carbohydrates available and they won't digest that slow. And as well as that, it will also be influenced by how much carbohydrates you're consuming. So if you're consuming an absolute ton of carbs, you can get away with less fat, whereas if you're not consuming as much, you might want to add some fat. And if someone's, let's say, training free, or they're training and they're having a meal 2 hours beforehand, they want to have more fat so they're not burning through those carbohydrates before even getting into that session. So the further away from your meal, typically, from the workout, you'll typically want to have a wee bit more fat. Whereas if you're training, let's say, right after eating, you'll want to opt for a smaller meal as a whole and have maybe a bit less fat in it. And what I'd say about these things is try different things, see what works, see what feels good for yourself, see what leaves you with a sustained release of energy. And yeah, basically stops you having that instant spike of blood sugar and then your blood sugar then dropping, which will prevent you then performing well in the back end of the session. So if you feel like you do kind of dwindle and you kind of burn out and you lose a lot of energy towards the end of your session, maybe consider adding some fat for that meal. A good source of fat could be something like dark chocolate, because it contains something called flavanols, which will increase nitric oxide production. And nitric oxide production basically helps you dilate your blood vessels, which will help reduce blood pressure and improve blood flow to the target muscles, and same with oxygen delivery, both of them leading to better performance. If we can shuttle more blood towards the target muscle, we won't fatigue as fast, and if we can obviously get more oxygen to the target muscle, then it's going to improve our endurance, which is a benefit of that. So dark chocolate can be a enjoyable food to consume, for one. Everyone loves chocolate, or most people. And as well as that, it will help in terms of our ability to get a pump in the gym, as well as having other health benefits associated with it. From consuming it on a one-off serving and also consuming regularly, you'll both receive those benefits. And you can also consider things like beetroot and leafy greens like spinach, because they will also have a similar effect on helping you, or they can say nitrates, which will help you produce nitric oxide, which will then again help blood flow, help you get a pump. So as for the timing of your pre-workout meal, so again, the timing of your pre-workout meal could be influenced by how much calories you're on, what phase you're in, what meal it is in the day. But a good place to start is maybe around 90 to 45 minutes before the training window. And the closer it is, the smaller the meal you'll most likely want. The further away it is, the more fats and carbs you will want in that meal. In terms of what timing to kind of go for, because I've gave you a bit of a broad range, see what works. Try it, manipulate it. If maybe you consume your meal quite far away from training and you find you've got a lack of energy towards the end, move it a bit closer. If you feel like you've got a lot of digestive distress because you eat quite close before your session, then move it slightly further away. And this will be, again, different for each individual and depending on what phase you're in. So there's no kind of set in stone answer. I mean, you need to have this amount, you need to have that amount, because it will be different based on the individual. But yeah, the closer it is, the smaller it will want to be. So if you're eating, let's say, immediately before the gym, like you're in the car park and you're consuming something and then going into train, you might want to opt for something like a protein shake and a banana. Whereas if you're eating like an hour before, you could opt for like a big bowl of oats with some almond butter and some whey protein in it as well. Or let's say chicken, rice and dark chocolate with some spinach or leafy greens of other sort, for again helping you get a pump in the gym. Pump being just having more blood flow to the target muscle, which can help performance. So that's kind of my thoughts regarding timing. And something we can also consider, which will be tie into kind of the amount of fat we want to consume as well, is fiber. So fiber basically slows digestion and pulls water into the stomach. So for someone who's deep in a gaining phase and they're consuming a ton of food, it might be better for them to have a lower fiber meal, so something like cream of rice or ground rice, or in other words, things like, or maybe like a cereal or something like basmati rice that has less fiber in it, which will not pull as much water into the stomach and not digest as slow. Whereas someone who's maybe in a dieting phase, they might want something a bit slower digestion and a bit more satiating to consume. So if you've got like a really high fibrous meal, you might not necessarily need as much fats in that meal for that reason. So just bear in mind how much fiber you're consuming in that meal. And if, let's say, you are deep in a gaining phase and you find you've got digestive distress and you can maybe consume more of your fruit or veg further away from that workout window, and opt for a bit more kind of low volume foods if you're consuming a lot of calories, meaning instead of having something that's quite high in size, high in volume, like a massive bowl of fruit pre-workout. You could opt for a bagel and honey, and then also have some orange juice as well, something that's not going to take up as much space in the stomach. And like I said, going on to what phase you're in, prior meals, just to quickly kind of recap on that and touch on that again. If you are in a dieting phase and you're not having much carbs, it's going to be more important for you to be really, really diligent with your pre-workout nutrition. And especially if you are training after, let's say, one meal, you need to be on the ball with it because you've not consumed a meal for a good 8 hours for however long you've been asleep. And if you're gaining and you've had a lot of meals in, or in other words, bulking, and you're eating after four meals or so, a smaller meal could suffice. You could go into the gym after just having a protein shake and a banana and not eating your meal prior quite a bit before that. So again, play about with it. But generally, again, if you can eat more of your calories around the workout window, it's probably going to be a good thing for your long-term body composition. And what I mean by that is, if you maybe have all your carbs around your session, you're not instantly going to put a ton of muscle on and stay shredded. But over the long term, over weeks and months of gaining, if you consistently make sure you're having your carbs around your session and you're putting a lot of food around there, because we're more sensitive to carbohydrates when we're training, then we will potentially have a better body composition over the long term, meaning gain less body fat, gain more muscle mass throughout that process. And in terms of routine, what I recommend you do is, what when you find what works for you in terms of your nutrition, run with it. What this will do is, this will create predictability, and also there's a psychological benefit of knowing you've nailed your variables before your session. The more moving parts you have, pre-workout, intra-workout, post-workout, and just overall your meals and routine throughout the day, the more things that can go wrong. It's like the more parts on a car you have, the more things that can break, the more things that can be damaged. So try and keep things pretty similar in that pre-workout meal for that reason, so that you do have predictability in your ability to perform. And it's not a bad idea just having good routine with your nutrition as a whole, as well as what time you perform your sessions for this reason. And as for some potential supplements we can consider consuming in that pre-workout window, it's going to be caffeine. So caffeine, an effective dosage could be anywhere from 150 milligrams to 300 milligrams, but even slightly less, to be fair. So I will basically opt for how much caffeine that I need to feel like a good hit from it, meaning feel like a good buzz from it, but not maybe make me feel like I want to run through walls. So I'll get as basically little as I need to get a return from it, and basically the minimum effective dose. Because see, if I go into my push day and I'm having 400 milligrams of caffeine for a bit of an easier session, where am I going to increase that to when my tolerance builds and I don't feel the effects from it? You've not really got much room to push it up. So I'll typically have it on the lower end, and as I go throughout a training block or a training mesocycle, I'll then increase it as I feel like I'm not getting the desired effect, and then it gives me more ability to push my caffeine intake up. And as for timing of caffeine, so 30 to 60 minutes before a workout is not a bad place to be. Again, it depends on the length of the workout. If you're training for an hour, 45 minutes, maybe have it slightly earlier. But caffeine's got it takes around 30 to 45 minutes for you to reach kind of peak dosage with your caffeine. It doesn't kind of go in your system instantly. I personally like having my pre-workout right before stepping foot in the gym, so like I've got it and it kicks in when I'm at my big meat and potato movements. But anywhere from 30 minutes beforehand to like maybe a bit sooner, you can do so. The only caveat to that is, if you are, let's say, training later in the day, I'd opt for having your caffeine earlier in the day. We know it's got a half-life of 5 hours, so even if you consume a coffee at, let's say 2 p.m. and you're training at 5, you'll still have a lot of that in your system. So you'll still have more than half of that in your system when you get to the gym. So the reason why you should have it early in the day is because it will have a impact on sleep due to it having quite a long half-life. So try and opt for having your caffeine earlier in the day, when possible, because it's always kind of possible, as much as possible, and don't affect your sleep accordingly. And also, creatine has shown to be well researched, has a good impact on your performance and endurance. However, the timing doesn't matter, but I thought I'd throw it in terms of supplements, so you can take it anyway. So having 5 grams a day is an appropriate amount, and the timing doesn't matter because we store it in our body and we saturate it, and as a result, as long as we're taking it on a regular basis, you're fine. We can also consider, and for some people, they might find they don't digest creatine well, like on an empty stomach, or mixing it with caffeine, for those individuals, you might want to have it away from the workout window. But I typically shove it in my intra-workout anyway, because it digests well for myself. And beta-alanine. So beta-alanine, round about 2 to 5 grams, seems to be the effective dosage. And it helps you buffer lactic acid build-up, which can help your ability to have good endurance and perform, and also reduce muscle fatigue. Beta-alanine is also a supplement that you'll need to kind of saturate within your stores of it. Basically, what I mean by that is you won't receive much benefit from having it once and then not having it again. So you need to take it regularly to receive the benefit from it. And beta-alanine's often in quite a lot of pre-workouts, you'll see. So if you are consuming beta-alanine, try and make sure you're having it on quite a regular basis. You can buy it separately and just have it on its own if you want to make sure you're having a sufficient amount on a daily basis. And if you don't want a ton of caffeine but you do want to consume a good bit of beta-alanine, you can again buy it separate, or alternatively you can have it in like a non-stimulant based pre-workout, and there you don't need to have a ton of caffeine to receive the benefits of it or the appropriate dosage. And it can be taken, like I said, before a workout, but it's more about taking it on a consistent basis for a long term, for the kind of effects to take place. And we can also consider citrulline, which is something that will help in terms of blood flow, nitric oxide production. Once again, 6 to 8 grams is shown to be an effective dose of citrulline malate. However, if you're using L-citrulline, 2 to 3 grams is sufficient. And again, that will help nitric oxide production, which will increase blood flow and help your endurance during high intensity workouts. They're the main kind of fundamentals and main supplements that are going to give you the most return for the investment. Doesn't mean other supplements won't be valuable, but they're kind of the main ones that will have the most bang for your buck and research behind them. You can also consider things like nootropics, so things that will help in terms of focus, like alpha-GPC is one of them. L-theanine you'll see in some pre-workouts, which will help in terms of your focus and concentration. So that's something you can also consider, and that's going to help in terms of your ability to just stay dialed in during your session. And to basically conclude on the episode, find what works for you. Everyone's different, so don't copy what someone else is doing. If they're in a different phase, they're a different body weight, they've got different requirements to yourself. But what I'd say is try out what I've said, take the information on board, listen to your body and find what works. Feel free to adjust things, experiment, see if it has a net positive impact on your performance, a negative impact, or if it doesn't change things. And then once you've found what works, run with it, keep it the same, because it leads to a lot of predictability before your session. For myself, I can eat and then I can drive straight to the gym and start training after having quite a big pre-workout meal. And for me, I feel absolutely fine off that. And who is anyone else to tell me otherwise? Who's anyone else to tell me that's wrong? If I'm performing well, I don't have digestive distress, I get a good pump, my lifts are going up, then how is that necessarily wrong? So find what works, keep it consistent once you have, and don't be afraid to try adjusting things so that you can see if it's going to be a bit more effective or a bit less effective accordingly. And thank you very much for everyone watching or listening, and hope everyone has a great rest of their day.